Welcome to the Hawthorne Show. Well, today is a pretty special day for the podcast. Jimmy and I are actually on a trust-building retreat. So as you may have noticed in some of the previous episodes, there's been some tension between Jimmy and I, and we really want to fix it. We feel that we just wanted to go back to basics. So essentially, we're on a corporate retreat. Of course, the corporation that runs this podcast is quite small. It's Jimmy and I.
Well, let me just break in here and agree with that. I mean, but I think what's going on here, honestly, is we became so obsessed with showing our love for Hawthorne that we forgot to love Hawthorne and to keep the focus there. I mean, it's not about the fans and the podcast and the craziness of the life, you know. It's about getting back to what we're here for, which is to love Hawthorne, to share his wisdom, and all of that. And I know that Monica too wants to find her way with this, and I'm hoping that we can find this our way on this creek. And I love this creek, I gotta say. My uncle, you know, it's got a lot of memories for me. My uncle used to take me out here when I was a teenager, and he'd, you know, and when I'd be having trouble with girls or whatnot, he'd, you know, share his wisdom with me. And I remember, you know, right here, right where we're paddling by right now, you know, that old twisted oak there, I remember him saying to me, "Now, sometimes loving somebody and all that is like, you know, it's like going fishing and you get this big pull on your line and you think, well, that's it. That's the love I need." You know, which he said, "Now, usually when you get a strong pull on your fishing rod, what does that mean?" And I said, well, doesn't it mean you got a big fish on there?" And he said, "No, boy. I mean, think about it. It means you got your line tangled up with some junk on the bottom, like a milk jug full of dead minnows and rocks." And so he said, "You know, instead of a beautiful trout, it's some junk." So the lesson there, I guess, is love, you know, can lead you astray. And I'm just hoping that we can get back on track here.
Well, it's been a couple hours since that first recording, and Jimmy and I have gotten to the campsite. And finally, the tent is up. That was a huge fiasco. But anyways, what I am doing now is we're supposed to have separate audio blogs talking about how the retreat is going. It's part of, I guess, processing it. So we're supposed to talk about our feelings in a raw way. So I guess I'll do that. And I don't feel like this is going well at all. I mean, Jimmy is just nonstop, you know, telling these hunting stories and, you know, constantly trying to challenge me with Hawthorne passages and parts of Hawthorne he thinks I'm not going to know. Like, he was literally quoting Dr. Grimshaw's Secret, the unfinished manuscript, and he was like, "Do you remember that part about the spiders? I bet you don't." He's like, "They're just like the spiders in my deer blind or something." I'm like, "Jimmy, what is this? Are we bonding? Is this a competition? What is this?" And I'm just like full of acceptance and, you know, kind of serenity, and it's like, can't you meet me there? I mean, you're... "All right, this is my diary of how it's going here on the retreat, and I feel great about it. I think I've shared a lot of stories, and we've talked about some of the passages of Hawthorne I love that are a little more obscure, and but you know, but the thing is, I mean, she's mentioning Fanshawe, and you know, it's like that's the work Hawthorne tried to burn. You know, I think that's off limits. Hawthorne himself, he wrote Fanshawe when he was 23 years old. He rejected it. He denounced it. He tried to burn all the copies. I think to respect the man and his wishes, we don't refer to it. We don't do that." And she's like, just like saying it, just kind of saying, "Oh man, I'm a huge fan of George Bernard Shaw." And I'm like, "Did you just say Fanshawe? Because you know how I feel about that, Monica. You know how I feel about that. And, you know, I just am trying to bond with her. I'm trying to reach her. And I just feel like I can't. I mean, I don't know what to do. You know, I love Hawthorne. I love this show. But, my God. All right, I'm just going to go. I got a little bit of moonshine.
hope it's going to take the edge off of this.
Hey, is that you?
Billy? Is that you?
Yeah, it's me. I'm over here because who's the loud girl? Who's the loud chick over here? I mean, it's somebody squeezing a squirrel to death. That's what I thought was happening. And I see some girl I've never seen before around here. Is she your lady?
Well, no. We got a podcast and we're co-hosts. Oh, actually, she's the host and I'm the special guest, which is another issue that I need to get in with her. But anyway, I'm sorry, Billy. I guess it's nice to see you. I mean, you getting ready for grouse season?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I ain't flushing a lot tonight. You know, my old dog is arthritic. He just lays there. You know, he just wants his squeaky toy. He don't want to go after anything, man. It's kind of like you. You know, you're always happy with just your nose in a book rather than getting out there in the world doing stuff.
Well, I don't need you ribbing me, Billy. I know that's your stick, but I'm a little preoccupied. A lot on my mind, Billy, and I don't need that right now. I mean, I guess it's nice to see you and all best.
Hey, Jimmy, are we gonna, you know, have our fireside s'mores where we reconnect? Who's this?
Hey there. What's your name?
Monica, this is Billy. Billy's an old, you went to my high school, and Billy's Monica. She's a, you know, my colleague, I guess.
Hi, Billy. Sorry I'm a little bit short, but Jimmy and I are in the middle of something, and...
Now, Monica, I mean, why don't we just take a break? Let's just have Billy over by the fire. We'll just have a couple drinks. We'll cool our heads, and we'll come back to some of those conversations. I think we do need to have them, but, you know, we can relax. I mean, this is supposed to be about bonding, but also relaxing and enjoying the outdoors. And, you know, let's just take a little breather.
I don't know what y'all are taking a breather from, but I agree, man. I mean, you guys seem all tense, you know. You're scaring all the grouse, man. They can smell that sweat on you.
But, yeah, I'll have a drink. What do you guys have over here?
Woo-wee! Look at that moonshine, man. Let's sort it around, man. Pass it around.
Well, so we're just turning on the quarter again, and we've been drinking, I gotta say.
Yeah, well, I suppose.
Yeah, we've been drinking all right.
And, we just thought, you know, we just record this, you know. It's good to remember it, you know. Just the good times, and also, everything, you know, that's like Hawthorne, just the good and the bad. Life is made up of marble and mud. Where does that come from?
Jimmy, I know where that comes from. House of the Seven Gables, you think you're going to stump me with that?
I wasn't trying to stump you, Monica. I know it's your favorite book. I was trying to, like, make you feel good.
I don't like that book much, guys, honestly.
What?
What? Well, I don't really like it, you know. Honestly, guys, I've been listening to you run your mouths about Hawthorne, and I didn't say it because I didn't want to say anything because I wanted your moonshine. I didn't want to offend you till I got a bellyful. And I got that now, and I guess that's giving me a little bit of boldness in my speech because I got something to say. Y'all are fighting like wild hogs because you into the wrong author, man. Hawthorne is like Edgar Allan Poe if Poe had like half his brain removed and his foot was removed.
Excuse me, Billy?
Poe? I mean, if you had said Melville, maybe I could run with this, but Poe? Are you out of your mind? You must be really drunk.
I ain't drunk. Guys, think about it. I mean, Poe, he writes these stories, and they make sense. And they have a purpose to get you goddamn afraid and get your heart pumping like the telltale heart. Hawthorne is like, what are you supposed to feel? Like, oh, man, look at that. The world is a confusing place, and there ain't much meaning in it that I can discern, other than all these swirling meanings that cancel each other out. My God, it's just like, what's the point? You know, it just takes you back to zero. It takes you back to zero. Oh, oh, oh. Man, look at that. I could maybe talk to my dog back at the campsite. Billy, now come on. You're drunk. You're talking crazy. Or, you know, you just go back to your campsite. You're going to talk so crazy.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is the type of person you run with, Jimmy. I mean, look at this guy. Of course, you'd bring somebody like this around on our bonding time.
Monica, he was a friend from high school. Woo!
Sure, look at you go, 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 go. You know what else? I want to tell you something else, guys. Do you know that Poe, he wrote a negative review of Hawthorne, and I agree with it. I'm going to quote it for y'all, because it's got some truth you need to hear. Listen to this. He says Hawthorne is infinitely too fond of allegory. Ain't that the truth? He hammers on it with his veil that represents secret sin and all that.
Poe's a know-nothing.
Billy, why do you even know that? I mean, it isn't right to bring it up, but how do you even know that?
Well, I like to keep a few criticisms of Hawthorne handy. Case I run into the man that stole my girlfriend 20 years ago.
Billy, that's not what happened. I don't know why you won't let it go. Now, let me explain something, Monica. Billy and I, we didn't always get along in high school, and I think he's had it out for me, and I tried to let bygones be bygones about some stuff that happened.
Some stuff that happened. Well, look at that. Talking in the passive voice. Taking no responsibility. I tell you what, that stuff didn't just happen. You seduced her.
I didn't do any such thing. I didn't even kiss her. And you're the one who ended up marrying her, Billy. I mean, you won, okay?
What's this? You tried to make out with his fiancé?
Well, of course not. What happened was, she just talked to me, you know, kind of between classes, and it was long before they were engaged, and nothing happened between us anyhow.
I don't know. I feel like she was always thinking about you, even in the marriage bed. You did something to her, and I don't like it, and now she's got half my money, she's got the ski-doo, she's got the pontoon boat. She's got the house, she's got the goddamn pink flamingo from the front lawn, and I think we would have made it, Jimmy. You hadn't put those notions in her head.
What notions did you put in her head, Jimmy? I mean, this is interesting. You never told me any of this.
Well, I mean, that's not what the show's about, so of course I'm not going to put out my dirty laundry, you know, and we're here to love Hawthorne, but what he's talking about is Denise and I would, she'd sometimes come over to my house and we read Moss's Sermon Old Manse together and just kind of talk about the ideas and, you know, sitting on the porch swing and hair lemonade and all that, and that's all it was.
I don't know. I didn't like it. Hey, I got something else I want you to hear. You know what else? He says that Hawthorne, his book affords strong internal evidence that hasn't been written to himself and his particular friends alone. So look at that. Hawthorne's just like you, Jimmy. Looking out for number one, creating a world that's just for you. And then when somebody comes calling and calling you out on it, you get goddamn pissier than a raccoon doused in baby oil.
Well, look, I don't know what you're talking about, and I don't know what's going on with you and Jimmy, but I gotta at least address the Hawthorne part of this. So, Poe says that Hawthorne is writing just for himself? Who's Poe to talk? I mean, those stories are just so indulgent. And besides, he's too allegorical? What about Fall of the House of Usher? I mean, that's like such an on-the-nose allegory.
Yeah, she's right, man. Listen to that, Billy. She's right. I mean, you love him, Pope. That's why Janice didn't want to be with you. You know, that's why. Because you love Poe and she didn't like Poe. She didn't like Poe. She told me that. Oh, she loved Poe. Don't you lie. She loved him, man. We had a raven tattooed right on her shoulder blade.
Well, I'm sure that there's a raven in Hawthorne she was referring to.
Yeah, Hawthorne talks about birds a lot. I mean, I wouldn't put my money on that was a Poe reference. She just told you that.
Well, what do you know about it, girl? I don't know you. Where did you come from, man? I mean, you're like a city girl. You talk like, where are you from?
I'm from Ohio.
You sound like you're from somewhere else, you know? It's like people from Ohio, they always sound like they're from somewhere else because, you know what? They're just like Hawthorne, too. Wishy-washy. Not sound like they're from anywhere in particular, but like every place, I don't understand. Hey, I got this one too, man. This is my favorite one, okay? You know what he says? You know what he says? I want you to listen to this. Why, Hawthorne would do doubly well in a career of honest, upright, sensible, prehensible, and comprehensible things. Why don't he write those? That's what Poe said.
Prehensible? That just proves Poe was on opium when he wrote that. Look, Billy, I don't know you, and, you know, I know Jimmy's not perfect, but you're out of line, man. Get on out of here.
Yeah, get out of here, man. We don't need this around here no more. You don't know anything, and she never loved you, and she never loved Poe. Ever. And I'll tell you what, one time she said, you know what, if I had to go to one grave, I'd go to Hawthorne's grave. I wouldn't go to Poe's. And I took her there. You know that weekend everybody's on a ski trip? We went to Concord, Massachusetts, and we saw. That's all that happened, okay? It was pure above board, you know? But you ought to know that.
I don't believe it, Jimmy. You're just like Hawthorne, man. You make it all imagined and confusing. It's just all in your head. And you don't make sense either, because I know she was with her aunt that weekend, all right. You know what? You know what Poe says at the end of that review? You want to know what he says? He says that Hawthorne, rather than writing all this kind of wishy-washy stuff that makes no sense, he says, let him mend his pen, get a bottle of visible ink, come out from the old manse, and actually produce some decent shit.
I don't think that last part of the quote is accurate.
Well, the rest of it is.
Well, speaking of ink, Billy, you ever wonder what that A tattooed on her toe was all about?
Oh, yeah, I know what that was about. It was for Annabelle Lee, Edgar Allan Poe's last poem. It was a way of honoring it.
Well, did you ever notice what color it was inked in?
Shut up now. I don't need to take this shit. I'm done with y'all. I just came over to drink your moonshine and tell you that
Hey, look, man, she has a scarlet letter on her toe. You gotta admit defeat. I think Jimmy's got you on this one.
Shut up, Ohio girl. You don't know nothing. I don't need to hear this, okay? I don't need to hear any of this. I'm out of here, man. You gotta just have at it, man.
Well, Billy, yeah, you go on get. You know you're beat. You always pretend like you want to leave, but you know you're beat. Get on out. Go on now.
Yeah, get. Well, how about those s'mores?
How about those s'mores? Hey, man, thanks for having my back.
Hey, it's no problem. I was just defending Hawthorne.
I know you can't admit it, Monica, but I appreciate it. But yeah, let's get out those s'mores. Any more of that moonshine left?